One verse that if anybody knows from the Bible is John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And believing in him, that's the topic today, because who is the him? That's H-I-M, not H-Y-M-N. So convictions and consequences, Jesus Christ. The question, probably the most important question, ultimately is asked in Scripture several places. Who is this man? So for example, in Luke chapter 5, verse 21, the scribes and Pharisees may be representing enemies of the church, enemies of Christianity, enemies of Christ today, who were accusing, who is this man that thinks he can forgive sin and he's blaspheming against God? Ask that. Who is this man? Also the disciples, maybe us. In Mark chapter 4, verse 41, where Jesus, out on the Sea of Galilee, awoke to rebuke the wind and the waves and calmed the sea. And his disciples didn't fully understand who their Savior was. Who is this man that the wind and the sea obey him? And then also another place in Matthew 21:10, during the triumphal entry. Not too many weeks here as we get into the Lent season here starting this week. The multitudes representing perhaps the world. Who is this man that is coming into Jerusalem during Holy Week? Folks, that's a very important question. And when it comes to our study, if you will, or the state of American theology, unfortunately, we don't seem to get it very well. Evangelicals, Bible-believing Christians, we might say, biblical accounts of the physical or bodily resurrection of Jesus are completely accurate. This event actually occurred. 95% agreed. That's good. But 5% don't believe that are claimed to believe the Bible. This one's the one that gets me. Jesus is the first and greatest being created by God. Bible-believing Christians, 71% agree. Is there not going to be a groan or something? When it comes to all faiths, so not Bible-believing Christians, only 57% agree. So unbelievers get this more right than people who profess to believe the Bible, that Jesus is a created being. That's heresy, folks. And then finally, Jesus Christ is the only person who never sinned. 87% agree. Once again, that's low to me. So we're talking about what we believe is important. We're using creeds. In fact, we will recite the Apostles' Creed, which articles 2 through 6 in the Apostles' Creed concern Jesus Christ. We'll recite that before we take communion. So the Apostles' Creed, but also been using as a teaching aid, Evangelical Free Church of America doctrinal statement. And this is a book that outlines it. And so we're talking then about what this orthodoxy, or what is common belief throughout church history. We all come from different backgrounds. What is the important stuff? But it's not just the head knowledge, but our lives should be transformed by the renewing of our mind. It ought to have consequences in our lives. That's why we're going through this series. I hope you are enjoying it. If I'm speaking too fast, please let me know, because it is important, and I appreciate a lot of you, I think, understand that and know that. But today, as we start especially talking about Christ, God's gospel, the good news, is made known supremely in the person of Jesus Christ. The good news is about Jesus Christ. And so we're going to spend the next 2 weeks after this talking about Jesus. And so as far as convictions, we've talked about the renewing of our mind. We've started with Article 1 was about God, a holy God. Then we talked about the Bible, which if we don't take the Bible for what it is and what God is the primary author, we're not going to understand some of this, these other things that we talk about. Last week, actually the last couple of weeks, we talked about the human condition, the bad news, how bad sin is. And I pointed out that unless you really are convinced there's a problem, and unfortunately in the church today, there's a lot of folks that don't believe, if you remember the state of theology, a lot of folks really don't think they're that bad of people. Well, if you don't understand how bad the situation is, you're not going to understand how big the solution has to be, how great our Savior has to be. And I will dare to say you will have deficient faith, ultimately, because you don't truly believe you need to be saved from being dead in sin. That's what we're discussing today. So, printed in your bulletin. Also, you have all those notes with the Bible verses. I encourage homework if you want to get anything extra out of it. But we're going to do the first part of this today. We believe that Jesus Christ is God incarnate, fully God and fully man, one person in two natures. Jesus, Israel's promised Messiah, was conceived through the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He lived a sinless life, was crucified under Pontius Pilate, arose bodily from the dead, ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of God the Father as our high priest and advocate. Very important things. We're going to look at the first part of that today, that just, first of all, his identity, if you will. Jesus' identity, the incarnation, the taking on flesh, carne asada, is one of my favorite meals at Fiesta Mexicana. Carne, meat, but God added humanity to his deity. That is what we're going to be talking about. And so some of the ideas, his identity, he is fully God. He is fully man. Folks, if you don't get these right, and we'll discuss this, you end up with a lot of heresy and false belief. He is one person with two natures, God and man. He is conceived through the Holy Spirit. Why is that important? He is born of a virgin, part of the Christmas story. And what does it mean that he is Israel's promised Messiah? So that's the first half is what we're going to look at today. And why is that important? And what are some things for us to think about from right thinking, our right behavior, and our right beliefs that ought to shape how we live our daily lives. So first of all, Jesus' person. Who is this man? Folks, there are a lot of historical heresies. They used to put people to death for some of this stuff. They took it that seriously. Historical heresies, but unfortunately, that are alive and well with us today. Ecclesiastes 1:9, an older Solomon, I believe, says there's nothing new under the sun. And so one of the reasons I like history is we've been through this before. We live in a generation where, ooh, this is new. No, it happened 40 years ago or 100 years ago. And so understanding some of these Christological heresies about Christ, folks, they've been around for, well, since 2,000 years ago when the church began. And so first of all, Jesus is fully God. The Word became flesh. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God and was God. That means, folks, he is an effective sacrifice. If Jesus wasn't fully God, it would not be an appropriate sacrifice that it was of infinite worth as a sacrifice before our, why we studied, we looked at God. He is infinitely holy and just, which is why he is just to be wrathful against sin. Sin is so bad, it requires a sacrifice before a holy God. That's why Jesus, the sacrifice has to fit the crime, we might say. That's how bad our sin is. So an effective sacrifice before a holy God. But he is also fully man. The Word became flesh, which means he's an appropriate sacrifice. He's qualified. Just like if you were here last week, and you can, if I talk too fast, you can go back and listen from previous weeks. These are all being recorded. But the idea of when we talked about Adam, as a historical man, Adam and Eve, our great-great-great-great-grandparents, and the idea that Adam represents us corporately, his federal head, there's a lot of big terms, but he represents us in sin. Jesus, as fully man, represents us for salvation. And so the picture of bad genealogy, good genealogy, we might say, our representative, as Paul tells young Timothy, for there is one God and one mediator, somebody who can bring stretch between man and God, one mediator, the man, Christ Jesus. And so it's important that God sent an appropriate sacrifice. And so then when we talk about the incarnation, big term, but the idea of Christmas and Advent, when we talk about the birth of Jesus, that he was conceived through the Holy Spirit. Why is that important? Well, first of all, because, like we looked at last week, that the seed, after the fall, the seed of Satan and the seed of the woman, there's going to be war. And so ultimately that fallen seed of, in fact, the Greek term for seed, descendants, is sperma, where we get our word sperm. And so the idea of a human genealogy, Jesus is fully man, but he doesn't have a human father, if you will, so that the idea of sinlessness, no inherited sin. He did not inherit the fallen nature of Adam. Very important for a sinless sacrifice. We'll talk more about that next week. That's why, come to the pancake supper, we get rid of the leaven in pancakes on Fat Tuesday. We get rid of it all, getting ready for Lent. If you come from a church background where you the fasting and things of the 40 days of Lent, but the idea of the sinlessness of the sacrifice, lambs without blemish. We'll look more at that next week, but that's one of the reasons why Shrove Tuesday, representing leaven as a picture of sin, get rid of the leaven. And so Jesus is our sinless sacrifice. Tied to that is the virgin birth. And so if you noticed in your printed out the way the E-free, virgin is not capitalized. Mary, that was one of her qualities. It's not her title, but she is the Virgin Mary. And so that is something for us as Protestants. Some of us might come from Roman Catholic backgrounds, and you remember how important Mary was, which could go beyond recognizing that she, as Luke tells us, she is a favored one, I mean, special, being able to be the mother of Jesus, but she's not the highly exalted one in the sense of what is called Mary a la tree, almost the worship of Mary. Some of you might have the co-redemptrix. She and Jesus are both up there in heaven helping us. Folks, that's blasphemy. Or she is the queen of heaven. In fact, when we, George and I, lived in Jacksonville, a new little Roman Catholic church building was put up. Mary, queen of heaven. And so honoring her, yes. Worshiping her, no. And so doctrines like her immaculate conception, or her perpetual virginity. Those of you that come from Roman Catholic backgrounds, it can be very dangerous adding to or trying to explain away things so that we can appreciate Christ's sinlessness. The Holy Spirit took care of that. Mary is a special woman, but she is not the co-savior with Jesus. I hope that's very clear to all of us. So the incarnation, but also then here, this term, Israel's promised Messiah. Well, Messiah is just a Hebrew term where we get the Greek word is Christ. So Jesus Christ is not his last name. Jesus is the Messiah. Why is it important for him to be Israel's promised Messiah? Well, all throughout the Old Testament, what we call the Old Testament, the continuity of Scripture and redemption. God didn't suddenly change plans. So today, in the church, a lot of folks think that the God of the Old Testament, he was angry, and he liked to destroy people. And so aren't you glad today we have a nice, loving God of the New Testament? And so it's sort of the continuity instead of continuity. No, we got rid of that angry God, and now we have a loving God. Folks, as Christians, we do not believe that. It is all Scripture. Anger and wrath at sin, yes, because of what he is doing in Christ. So continuity of Scripture and redemption. God has always saved people throughout human history the same way, by grace through faith. There was not an Old Testament way to get saved by keeping the law. That was an outworking of faith, yes, but it didn't save you. Just like today, works do not save you, because then your faith is in your works, not in the person of Jesus Christ. And so the idea then, I touched on this, the seed of the woman, Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. Way back, right after, in the Garden of Eden after the fall, talking about the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent at war. And so you trace this genealogy culminating in, of course, the ultimate seed of the woman, Jesus Christ. And so, if you will, that's the first mention of the gospel. And so that's why in Scripture, all those begats, who cares? We do. The genealogies are important to trace the lineage. When you come to the Gospel of Matthew, for example, he is very careful to take back Jesus' human lineage back to especially King David, to show that he is the royal, the rightful king of Israel. Also then, because he's Israel's promised Messiah, the accuracy of prophecy. Have you ever considered, there's been studies done about how many prophecies were fulfilled in Jesus Christ and the odds of those coming to pass? Folks, that's another proof, if you will, for the inerrancy of Scripture. How could, in Bethlehem, at that time in human history, could that Savior be born? Well, because he is the promised Messiah. Another thing that to me is very interesting, what is called typology, that throughout the Old Testament you see pictures that Christ fulfills or is the greater picture of what is called a type. So the temple was important. That was the way God told Israel to express their faith by grace through faith, express and offer sacrifices as a picture of what God is due. Well, who is the greater temple? Jesus, tear down this temple and in 3 days I will raise it up again. And so what a picture of the foundation of a strong building, the foundation of our faith in that ultimate temple. The manna, remember the bread. In fact, I like that. The Hebrew word manna means, what is it? Yeah, it means bacon. No, it means, what is it? What a great, you know, the manna from heaven. What is it? Let's call it, what is it? Manna. But Jesus, in fact, when we institute the words, I'm going to use John, the Gospel of John chapter 6. Jesus is the living bread, body broken for you. John chapter 6, verse 51. Jesus is the living water, like he talked with the woman at the well. And so he is life and refreshment. He is the true vine. John chapter 15, folks, we abide in him. We have sustenance attached to Christ. We are one with Christ if you are a Christian. I mean, the pictures and what this ought to mean for our lives to me is just phenomenal. He is the good shepherd. What do shepherds do? Take care of their sheep. Aren't you glad that the Lord is your shepherd? If you're a Christian. And so the typology, the continuity, Israel's promised Messiah. In fact, here, listen to Luke chapter 24, verse 44, as Jesus on the road to Emmaus. Then he said to them, "These are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms," the three major sections of the Old Testament, "concerning me," Jesus says. And so the Old Testament does point forward to Jesus. Folks, that's important for us. And there's a richness to the Old Testament that unfortunately we pastors, we don't know what to do with all those kosher food laws and things like that. And so sometimes we neglect all the promises that God has made. Does God keep his promises? Absolutely. Even when we are faithless. So, the person of Christ, his identity. Folks, our faith is only as good as its object. That's why it's important to understand who Christ is. Because if you have a defective view in who Christ is, not the Christ you create in your own image, but the Jesus of reality and Scripture, folks, if you have a defective Savior, you have a defective faith. And as Jesus says, and we'll finish this up next week, If you do not believe that Jesus is who he says he is, the wrong Jesus, you will die in your sin. And so these ancient heresies, in 1 John, I read that passage where the spirit of Antichrist, the idea of destructive heresies, denying who the Lord is. And so some ancient heresies that were false beliefs that are alive and well today, a guy named Arius taught that Jesus was not truly God. Folks, we have groups today that do not believe that Jesus is God. Think of like Jehovah's Witnesses, Unitarians, even Islam. Liberals, you know, think Jesus is a good example, he's a good teacher, but he's not really God. Folks, that's heresy, and that is defective sin. There's the idea of Gnosticism, which is a fancy word for fancy language, and comes from, if you will, a Greek philosophy, but the idea that, oh, the higher knowledge and the secret handshake, that's what's important, we don't want a Jesus of the flesh. We want a Jesus who is the Word of God and is somehow just spiritual. Or the idea that Jesus just appeared to become a man. A lot of New Age stuff, spiritualism, Christian Science believe in stuff like that. Other heresies that, for example, here's one that's very prevalent, unfortunately, in the church called modalism. That God, it's tough to understand the Trinity, isn't it? How can there be one God in three persons? Give three examples of that, right? Well, there's not. But the idea of God manifest, sometimes he's the Father, sometimes he's the Son, sometimes he's the Spirit. A lot of times, folks, we preachers can creep into that type of language. There are some very famous preachers, I could give you their names, that fall into that trap. Folks, that is not understanding ultimately who Jesus Christ is. And so the identity of Christ is central to our faith as the object of our faith, to believe in that God who took on human flesh, Emmanuel, which means God with us. So, importance, I hope you get that, the choice then is, what Jesus do you believe in? Your eternal salvation is resting on, do you understand who the real Jesus is? Do we have convictions about this? We'll finish this up. What are the consequences? I hope you understand a lot of this has to do with right thinking, but look at those pictures of Christ that, at least to me, I just rejoice throughout my daily life knowing that Jesus is who he said he is, and by God's grace, that's what my faith is in, and I suspect I'm preaching to the choir here, but this is central, folks, to be Christians. We believe in the Christ of the Bible, and it does have consequences in our life. The God's gospel is made known supremely in the person of Jesus Christ. We'll finish this up next week, but right now, perfect for this Sunday, as we come to the table for communion, to recognize how we can be one through that covenant, with the new covenant that Jesus instituted with his disciples and by extension, his people. So if you are a Christian, you are welcome. The deacons will serve you in your place. Let me read from the Gospel of John, chapter 6, going back to manna. Listen to these words, that he is the promised Messiah. John chapter 6, verses 49 to 58. Your fathers, talking about the Jews during the Exodus, ate the manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread, which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world, a world of sinners. The Jews therefore quarreled among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man, a very graphic picture of what has to happen for our salvation, eats my flesh, eats the flesh of the Son of Man and drinks his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day, for my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers ate the manna and are dead. He who eats this bread will live forever. What a picture about the spiritual reality of what is required for salvation. Come to the table, the bread and the cup, the flesh and body pictured for us that Jesus did. So the deacons will come and serve you as, and I think Peg's going to play some background.